Welcome to Simple Acts, Big Impact. I'm Natalie Silverstein. Each week, I'll introduce you to young people who are making a difference in their communities through nonprofits, social entrepreneurship, volunteerism, and activism. I hope you'll be inspired by these conversations, which prove that every person, no matter their age, can help to create a kinder world. Sometimes the simplest efforts make the most impact and warm the heart in the loveliest way. My guest today, Nora P., is from the Chicagoland area, and she created a beautiful organization called Roots and Grounds. It's a youth-led nonprofit serving seniors in retirement homes, offering complimentary planting and craft workshops. Welcome back, everyone. I'm really excited to introduce you to my new friend, Nora. She lives in the Chicago area, and she runs an organization that's really sweet called Roots and Grounds, and she's going to tell us all about it today. Hey, Nora, thanks so much for being with us today.
Yeah, of course. Thank you for having me.
Absolute pleasure. So why don't you share a little bit more about yourself, how old you are, where you go to school, what grade you're in, all that good stuff, and then tell us all about this wonderful organization and the work that you do with seniors.
Yeah, so I go to North Shore Country Day, and I am 16 years old, and I'm a junior in high school. And yeah, so I run an intergenerational nonprofit that aims to provide free educational and creative services to seniors in retirement homes across the Chicagoland area. And I started this when I was a freshman. And so I guess it's been like maybe like... I started at the end of freshman year, but I've reached about 460 seniors, and I'm going to have visited 25 retirement homes by the end of this winter. And I hope to go to a lot more later on. So how I kind of started this was by just really involving myself in volunteering when I was young. So I guess being around everyone who volunteers and all these organizations has really inspired me. And it kind of like wanted me, it gave me like this desire to get more involved in helping people and taking on roles with greater commitment and responsibility. I also see so many young people on TikTok reaching out and helping their communities. I'm in high school, and it really motivated me to do so as well. So I was at the dinner table, and my dad was talking about an email he got asking for a donation from a retirement home. And they were just asking for money because they did not have a lot of funding for like amenities like coffee. And that kind of like led me to this idea of like creating planting programs for these retirement homes, because I'd also heard a lot about like just isolation people experience when they're in retirement homes because they're separated from their family and everything. And it's harder to make friends sometimes, I think. So yeah, I developed a rough outline of my idea, and I talked to my dad about it. And he's been really helpful with me through all of this because he just has so much experience in business because he does that for his job. So it's been really helpful to me, and he's introduced me to a lot of great like platforms to organize my ideas and everything. So to start, like when I started my nonprofit, I first did a little sample planting workshop with my family, and that really helped me to see what I was doing right and what I was doing wrong. So a big thing was how I would present my ideas to help teach them about plants. So I started out with a presentation about plants, but then I realized like, you know, that can be confusing sometimes because there's a lot going on. And also not all retirement homes have projectors and everything like my school does, but I just realized it would be a little bit hard to do that. And I also have recently decided to grow my nonprofit a little bit by adding more activities. So that's now like, instead of just like a normal planting workshop, it's like seasonal planting workshops or just crafting workshops in general. So an example of that would be like mini like plastic pumpkins on top of the soil and like spider web stickers. So it's all really cute. And so that would be like a fall themed planting workshop. But a crafting workshop, an example of that would be like I would trace like a pumpkin on a piece of cardstock, and they would glue buttons on it. And sometimes I'll do both in one workshop.
Sure. I'm sort of curious, when you go to these homes, these assisted living facilities and nursing homes, do they not have sort of the arts and crafts program already? Are they like, oh, great, she'll do this and now I don't have to do it? But I'm sort of, when you go and approach them, and that's another big question is, how did you find the nursing homes and assisted living facilities that would accept you to come in and do the program? But when you walk in and say, I'm willing to do this for you, what's their reaction like? Are they like, oh, terrific, you go ahead and do it, so now we don't have to worry about it?
Yeah, so I think their first concern is the cost, but I think it's really relieving when they hear there's no cost and it's run by volunteers. So I think that kind of helps them be like, oh, this is something that we want. And I think they really like how, you know, a young person runs it, because they know a lot of the residents, you know, like to get to interact with other generations too.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And, you know, you raise a good point in terms of, you know, your dad being solicited for a donation shows you that these facilities, the money that is paid for the folks to live there really just covers like the basic nursing care and the, you know, the utilities and the food. They probably don't have a lot of leftover for arts and crafts and planting. I mean, those things do cost money, and these places are very, very expensive. And maybe some of the fancier ones might have more amenities like those. But, you know, they go across the board, right, in terms of how much people pay. And if they don't have the budget for arts and crafts, that's just not something they're going to do. They're going to just put the television on and wheel people into the common room and make them sit there and watch, which is kind of sad. So I love that you took this upon yourself. And so tell me more. How do you get the funding yourself? Are you doing any fundraising? You're going to have to buy the little pots and the plants and the dirt and all of that good stuff. So tell me how this evolved after you came up with the idea and you tried it out on your family.
Yeah. So at first I just started with small workshops, and the good thing is all the materials are really cheap. I also am starting to raise money through like bake sales and everything. So I'm planning a lot of those things right now. Everything, like the plants are propagated. So they, you know, it's just made from one plant, and you get a lot of like little cuttings from that and seedlings and
right,
stuff.
Right. And was planting sort of your first idea? Are you a person who likes to do gardening or something? You know, it's an interesting thought. Like, I'll go and do something interactive with seniors, you know, arts, as you pointed out, arts and crafts, painting or beading or whatever, or puzzles. But doing a planting is sort of a unique idea. So how did you come up with that?
Yeah, I came up with that just because plants are really good for us, and it's a really like interesting thing to plant. It's just like a different experience than any other craft, really. And a big reason why I chose plants is because it's really easy to do if you're, you know, working small, and the pots are just really tiny plastic ones from Amazon. So it's not really, really hard to do, and I'll always give them help and stuff.
And then the care of the plants, they take them back to their rooms, right? So now you have to tell them how often to water them and all of that,
yeah.
Right? Here's this living thing that you've now given them to put in their rooms, and they may not have plants in their rooms. Some people do if they've been there a long time or whatever, if they're people that enjoy keeping plants, but other people might not have anything like that in their room. So they have to, you know, take care of it or else it's going to die. And I noticed on the website, you give them the materials to like decorate the little pots and stuff. So are you sort of trying to make the activity a little bit longer and a little more engaging? Because I guess the argument could be made, you know, you pour some dirt in and you put the plant in and it's done in like 5 minutes, right? But you want to make sure this is a good amount of time. So you decorate, and what other little things do you do?
Yeah. So a big part about the workshops is learning about plants, and you know, we'll send them back with like a little sheet that I made of like when to water them and like a couple important things to know. But a big part is learning about them. So we do kind of like a conversation session. But honestly, it runs for about like 45 minutes to an hour, which I feel like is a good time. You don't want it to be like too long. I feel like people will lose interest. So I think it's a good amount of time that.
Right. That's amazing. And tell me how you did find the organizations, the facilities that invited you to come in. Did you just call, email? Like, how did you make the introduction after you went to the first one?
Yeah, so my dad actually had a contact with the first one, so that's how I got to the first one. But after the first one, I started having to like find other ones in the area, and there's a lot of retirement homes in the area, but some of them are like pretty far. So we've gone like an hour out, but I want to find ones close. So what I'll do is I started out by cold calling, but I realized, you know, it wasn't the most like efficient thing because normally they weren't at the phone, so I would have to leave a voicemail, and it's really hard to convey a whole organization and service in one like 30-second period. And also they get a lot of voicemails and it might just get lost. So I started thinking, what advertisements would I pay attention to? And I thought, you know, something like physical that I could hold and like actually see, that it's just more like vibrant to me, I guess. And so I decided to handwrite letters to retirement communities and just hope that they get passed along to the activity directors. And I've got a lot of success through that. And yeah.
That's amazing. What a wonderful old school analog idea to actually write a note on a colorful piece of paper or something that had a picture of a plant on it or whatever. Like, good for you. Honestly, I mean, I've been doing this podcast for 4 years. I don't know that I've ever spoken to a young person who was writing letters as a way of soliciting support for their organization or to find clients for their work. I mean, that's really very impressive. And you're right. That's just a perfect thing. And if you could drop them off or mail them or whatever, and someone actually getting a piece of mail is so unique and unusual these days. Like, good for you for differentiating that way. So tell me, Nora, has there been anything in this work that's been challenging for you, or any obstacles that you had to overcome, or any surprises? And it could be something that you were like pleasantly surprised by, but just, I always like to ask this question so people know that, you know, things aren't always so smooth and you kind of have to figure things out sometimes.
Yeah. So I guess sometimes it's hard to get people to come to the workshops because you can't really like actually be there with them every day and advertise for them. But one thing I'll do is I'll sometimes make flyers. And another thing, that one woman who's at a workshop was like, oh, I think a lot more people would have visited if they knew what we were doing. And so I decided to go home and then create like a video of the planting process and the decorating process. And then I put it on the website, and then I send them to the activity directors when we plan the logistics of the workshop.
Right. And at the end of the day, it's the activities director's job to kind of go out and recruit people and be like, we're going to come down to the room now because Nora's here to do this nice project. Right. Again, they're not super busy. It's not like they have a lot going on. I bet the smiles and the joy that you bring them, though, is extraordinary. There is nothing like intergenerational volunteerism. Your beautiful smiling face walking down the hall is probably the best part of their day or their week. Nora, this is just such a wonderful program. I hope it continues to grow and flourish, and maybe you can get other people to do it in other communities. And it's just wonderful. Your website is great. The pictures are so wonderful. Can you tell everybody the website so they can check it out and maybe ways to reach out to you?
Yeah, of course. So on the website, we have just information about the nonprofit, but also at the end, if you work at a retirement community and you want to sign up for a workshop, you can do that there to plan a workshop. And if you want to volunteer, you can also scroll to near the bottom and you can sign up to be a volunteer, and I'll just email, you know, the place, the time, and, you know, all you need is transportation. There's no age limits or anything.
And tell us the website.
Oh, yes. So it's Roots, and then there's a dash, and then and another dash, and then grounds.com.
Rootsandgrounds.com. And I will have all of that in the show notes. Nora, thank you so much for sharing this wonderful story with us today. I really appreciate it.
Thanks for listening. If you are inspired by what you heard today and would like to support the creation of this podcast and the work of the changemaker I featured, please visit my website, simpleactsguide.com/podcast, to make a donation. And please follow, rate, and review the podcast to help us spread these positive messages.